Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking Black Lives Matter, but I think we're talking more than that, Martin, it's fair to say.
Yeah, and it's a subject we're returning to, Tony. It's not something where we haven't
as two straight white middle class men only can. Yes, we know what it's like. Events in DCU this week have got a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons. Listeners to this podcast, if you've been a long-term listener, will be aware of the individual involved because we've had, I'm going to say it straight out, we've had Ibrahim Halawa on the podcast several times, whose incarceration in Egypt was made more difficult by some of the lies and myths and nonsense spread by lecturer in DCU Mark Humphreys, and Ibrahim, to his great credit, never really lost and, you know, never really spoke out until this week when things were came to light about his views, this individual's views around the Black Lives Matter movement, some of the more grisly things like this. But anyway, look, enough listening to me. We are delighted to be joined by Christine O'Mahony and Dara Adelaide, who are both political activists. They're both supporters of Black Lives Matter, and they're both in DCU currently. And you guys are calling for a protest tomorrow to ask for the removal of Mark Humphreys from his position. First of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having us on.
Dara, I'm going to go to Christine first. Christine, you have been very vocal about this, and I saw that DCU Students Union produced what I can only call a robust statement that I kind of wish I had the guts to do in myself when I read it. It was very strong, and it contrasted very unfavorably, I'd say, with DCU's own statement about personal capacity. Do you want to just give me, first of all, your feelings about this situation and why you're calling for the protest tomorrow?
So I'm part of the Black Students and Students of Color Advisory Group in DCU, and what we do is try to make students feel welcome, Black students and students of color feel welcome on the campus. We're trying to tackle racism at its core, and the fact that it took a viral tweet on Twitter to show just how, you know, behind the scenes, how racist some lecturers are on our campus. And there's been reports before, but they didn't obviously get the attention that Mark Humphreys has gotten. So once I read the rest of the blog, I realized that this person shouldn't be teaching here. In DCU, we have a strict social media policy that our students must follow. So if our students are engaging in things like this, we could get kicked out of the university. But yet the university says that this is an opinion that he made in his personal capacity. Therefore, it's okay. You know, we're not going to fire him, or we're not going to give him discipline at all. And I was just livid when I saw that. And I went onto Instagram because that's where I put all my, you know, big opinions on Instagram. I tried to not do it on Twitter anymore because I get a lot of flack. But so I decided that there's something needs to be done. And Dara got in contact with me and said that, how about we organize a protest? And I was like, absolutely, this has to be done. So that is why we were organizing this protest on Friday outside of you at 1 p.m.
Dara, you're no stranger to protest, fair to say.
Yeah, fair enough.
But when you look at this situation, we've seen a backlash by students within DCU, and I have to say white students predominantly, saying, you know, well, he never brings his politics into the lectures. What was your take on that because we have to always balance the rights of free speech versus what is ultimately, like, I'm gonna put it in a different context. And Martin, this is factual. You remember this? Justin Barrett attending a rally where it was like it was effectively a neo-Nazi rally. He's like, well, he attended it in his own in a personal capacity. How do you separate the two, Dara? If you could, I'd be
I think it is a really good question, because when you look at the UK, there have been professors who have been fired for supporting Palestine, and when you really start to think of it, then you think, you know, should a university have the right to fire people based on their political opinion. But I think you do have to say, you know, at some point, what's the difference between a political opinion and racism? Like you said, if Justin Barrett goes down to a Nazi rally, at what point do you say, you know, there are certain things that are unacceptable? And I think the way DC described racist opinions as if it was like, you know, just another opinion, you know, like, I think that the state should control healthcare, as if, you know, those are somehow on an equal level, whereas they're not. And I think the major thing about the protest maybe is that, you know, on the, I guess, on the poster that we made, it doesn't explicitly say fire this man, because we want it to be more than just, you know, there's this racist. Unfortunately, if you are Black living in Ireland, you run into many more than just one racist. So this isn't, you know, just about Mark Humphreys. It's about, you know, giving a chance to Black students to voice their concerns, to come together as a community, because despite the and it was mostly white students who came forward and said, oh, yeah, I don't have a problem. It doesn't affect me, like clearly, obviously. But apart from that, there's been massive support. We've gotten into contact with lots of students, lots of different student societies. And the fact is, the vast majority of people in our community, in our college community, don't agree with him and want our college to be a place where people are welcome. So that's what the protest is about. It's about platforming Black students, students of color, Muslim students, and showing that, you know, for every racist, there's 1,000 people who are against them. And we're going to have a protest about it and say that these views aren't welcome in our opinion, you know.
And just to remind people that Black Lives Matter is the largest protest or the largest civil organization ever in the history of the world. It is
they've broken all records in terms of activism, in terms of protests, and in terms of impact. Yeah,
more countries than anywhere else. I mean, this is. It's not going away. Black Lives Matter is not going away.
I think that's the thing.
It's here to stay. Yeah.
He, you know, his major thing was, you know, I don't like Black Lives Matter. Well, now he has to deal with a group on his campus, you know. And I think if there was anything positive to come out of this, if people do come together and we're able to form a Black Lives Matter group here at DCU, or even, you know, just, you know, stay on this and build a movement out of it, I think that's, we've made something positive out of a really dire, dire situation, you know.
Christine, if I could just come back to you on the idea of the of activism on campus, how has it been met by the faculty? You know, because I've seen some members of faculty express it at meetings internally that they were disappointed with the university's position and the statement by that. And I've seen, you know, I understand it's difficult for people to speak out in full when their salary depends upon it, but nonetheless. Has there been much internal support for what you guys are trying to do?
Yes, actually. So I obviously I'm on social media and I'm advertising the protests. And we have a few lecturers retweeting because I go through the retweet the likes and retweets to see who actually is coming, who's actually liking it, because I need to know, get a sense of who's actually coming tomorrow. And I've seen a lot of lecturers and a lot of people who have DCU in their like bios. So it definitely means that a lot of staff are doing it. And I think one of your colleagues here at the podcast that usually talks about law.
Yeah, police DCU lecturer, Dr. Vicky Conway, who is our police tortoiseshack colleague as well. Yeah.
Yeah, she liked and retweeted my poster. And we have Dr. Bashir, who's a very vocal lecturer on racism, who's very happy with the protests and has liked a lot of my stuff. And then we had yesterday, I actually had a great conversation with a DCU external examiner who said that they are going to draft a letter and send it to the university. I actually forget their name, unfortunately, but they were very supportive.
Yeah.
I just want to say, it's Bashir Atakoyu, who was just a gentleman, by the way. Yes. So, sorry, Dara, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's something important that, like, you see from some of the right wing trolls, the way they're framing it is, you know, all these radical students are trying to get staff fired, whereas it's, you know, staff and students are in a community here and want one that people feel welcome to join. You know, I'm sure, obviously, for students, Black students in the computing department, it would feel awful to have him as a lecturer and think, you know, is this guy treating me fairly? But also for staff, you know, the on his blog, he writes quite a lot about disagreements he has with people. And I think one of them was about a former student, you know, and, you know, it's just not a comfortable environment for staff or students to be in at all.
And this isn't limited to the student body. Tony and I spoke a while back to people in the health service who have said basically the same thing, that as people as of color, they are maligned in the health service. They don't have the same voice as their white counterpoints. And every time a spokesperson is put forward, it is a white person.
Yeah, they make the point that, what is it? You've got like a huge percentage of people working in the health service are either people of color from minority backgrounds, or, you know, new Irish or migrants or immigrants, I should say, whatever way we want to classify them, but they're never the spokesperson. And that is
there is actually an opportunity here to put forward the voices that aren't heard. There is actually an opportunity. I mean, we do hear the voices from people who you like, the people you're going to protest against, but we very rarely hear the other side of the coin. And this is a chance for voices to come forward, and it is timely, I think, is the right word to say. It's about time this happened.
Exactly. Just on that, we have we're having like an open mic session, but we have prearranged speakers already. So we made sure that we contacted the right society. So we have the Islamic Society, we have the African Society. And then actually some people found me on Instagram and were like, can we help out? And they happened to be from an African background as well. So that was amazing. And we have secured Ibrahim Halawa actually to speak at our protests.
I spoke to him yesterday as well, and in fairness to Ibrahim, he said you need to talk to Christine and Dara. So he's one of my man crushes, so I'll just continue on.
Yeah, and we also have one of the USI reps for, I believe, diversity citizenship. I think I said it wrong, but Bucky.
Something to that effect.
Bucky, who's also from an African background, and they will be speaking at the protest. So we have a good few speakers, and we're hoping to get Dr. Bashir to speak. I've sent him a message, so fingers crossed.
But like it's as you said, like there's all these students who we've like met and got into contact through this, who like normally don't have a platform that this lecturer does, that hopefully through this protest will have a chance to, you know, give them the megaphone and get a chance to say what they want, you know.
Sorry, just want to come in and say on the diversity issue, DCU is a very new campus in relative terms to the Irish university networks, and I live beside it. It's great to see that diversity, but when you talk about Mark Humphreys, he's had years of this, and some of the things he put out in his own statement are just factually untrue. He made points about, you know, he never links to his things. That's not true. He used to direct people to his writings and his blogs to see what his views were, whether they were on Palestine and against Islamophobia. Let's tell the truth. You know, this is the level he was at. And the other thing is that, you know, he said, if you disagree with me, if you think I'm crazy, debate me. He was always a guy who shut down debate. He's always shut down debate, particularly on social media, and I found that myself. Mark, you're not blocked, you blocked me. That's the reality of it. But nonetheless, I just feel like there is also an issue here of we do have to have a space for free speech. But the one thing where people say, you know, oh, we have to have free speech. Yes, but I put it to both of you. These are just the consequences of why you said what you said. And, you know, when it's absolutely right for people to actually then be able to say, well, why do you feel the need to say that? Why do you, you know, why are we dehumanizing? Why are we stigmatizing them? Why are we separating? And I know Dara and Kristen, you've both said, you know, you experience racism throughout your lives. But when it's the people who you effectively are involved in the organization and the education system, does it fill you with any hope that we can the reaction the last few days that we can actually get change here, that we can say no. And Martin always says, you know, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Is this an opportunity to shed a light on some of that ugly side?
Do you want to, or I can go?
I'll go first. If you look at to America and you see like Martin Luther King Jr., he fought for change. It took years, but it happened. And obviously now we're in America, there's no segregation, although there is segregation sometimes, but you know, as a whole, segregation is not a law. So the change can happen if we, students of color, Black students, actually speak up and fight for our rights. And that is exactly what we're trying to do on Friday, is stand up for our rights, because you cannot call racism and Islamophobia free speech. And I've actually done a dissertation on this where I compare freedom of expression and hate speech. And I argue that hate speech cannot come under this category because it affects people's mental health. And unfortunately, you know, it can lead to suicides, and it's just dangerous. It's dangerous. And the fact that people think that being racist and Islamophobic is now part of free speech is a horrible opinion to have.
Yeah. I just maybe comment on, like, I think something important you said about, like, he has in his statement where he's meant to, like, you know, you guys should come and debate me or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
All these kind of debate, like, when you look at the blog, one of the things he talks about is he has all these conspiracy theories about George Floyd, about how he really died and all that stuff. And every normal person knows, you know, that is conspiracy. We all watched the videos. We all saw what happened. So what you know from that is, you know, why does someone need to construct a conspiracy around the death of a Black man at the hands of the police? Why does he need to say that, you know, systemic racism in America doesn't exist? All this stuff is because he has clearly some sort of bias towards Black people, and not a favorable one at that. So like this whole thing of he wants to, I mean, when people say debate me, it's to get a platform, and I think that's what he wants here. So it's an important reason that this protest is about more than just Mark Humphreys, because it's about like platforming Black students and that sort of thing, because I don't think we should be giving him this a platform to debate this nonsense, you know, because a lot of the blog is just rambling and nonsense and random excuses to give out about Muslims and Black people. So sorry if I went down on a tangent there,
but it's important to say too that this is not about cancel culture. This is not what it's about, and it's very, very important to say it. This is about giving parity to voices. That's what it's about. It's about your voice is not any louder or any stronger because of your color. It's not. But it's given parity to voices which haven't had that platform before. And I think that's a huge positive to come out of this. Do you think it's a huge positive?
Yeah, of course. And like, I mean, the word cancel culture gets thrown around so often. They're like, but there's no place and no time in history where you would come out and like, he's essentially, like, a lot of the stuff he said is obviously racist and Islamophobic. But if you go into someone's estate and shout, you know, I hate you, you're a scumbag, someone's going to come out and shout at you back, you know. So you can't shout at a community. You can't say all these horrible things and not expect someone to come out and say, you know, we don't agree.
Well, is it not the consequences of my own actions?
That's it. Like, it is consequences. And, like, you know, DCU, as I said before, it's a community. There's all sorts of students here from different backgrounds, from different sexualities, all sorts of things. And everyone here from, you know, all the people who've responded to the protest, everybody who's gotten involved, want to create a community we can all feel welcome, you know. I think, as you said, consequences aren't. We have free speech too. We have a right to protest. So I don't see why they're complaining.
I know. I want to bring that full circle, because there's been this narrative, particularly amongst white males of a certain level of academia across the globe, that they've been people saying, you know, don't have them speak here, don't have them do this, and it's as if this doesn't matter. But it's never there. If I can use this phrase, and I'll probably get killed for it, it's never their skin that's in the game. they're talking about other people's other individuals. And I see it too often. And we see it actually too often in mainstream media as well, that where it's become, you know, like it's let's debate them. And, you know, no, all you've done is amplify them and get the message out there and actually and raise their voices. And in Mark's case, he has had editorials published in mainstream publications, which, you know, were dog whistles. Let's be honest. Let's tell the truth. This is what he's done. But I suppose it's something that, because I feel free speech needs to be protected, but it doesn't come without consequences. And there's a huge difference between free speech and hate speech. And when you start to cross that line, you're actually then taking away, you know, you're making others less than. It's the idea of creating an out-group so you can dehumanize them. And then when you can dehumanize them, the gloves are off. You can say what you want. Last thing for me, what would you like to see come out of it from the university?
So I would hope that our president, Derek Cho, actually attends the protest tomorrow, because the executive knows and the university knows and the security staff know that it's happening tomorrow. So I want him to actually stand there and listen to students of colors, because these are the students that he is claiming that our university is diverse, inclusive, and respects equality. And if he's going around putting us, students of color and Black students and Muslims and Asian students, on our perspectives to say to the world that come to DCU, we're a diverse university, he actually has to do something for Black students and students of color. So I hope he listens to us, and I hope other staff listen to us and actually try and discipline lecturers that have engaged. It's not just down to Mark, because he's not the only one, but lecturers that have engaged in racism and Islamophobia, or even homophobia, because, you know, there is homophobia on this campus as well. So they have to take a stronger stance than just saying that, oh yeah, it's his opinions in a personal capacity. He actually has to do something and discipline him, because if we're getting in trouble for our own social media, then how come lecturers get off the hook?
Yeah, I think one thing that would be fair, it's nothing radical, it's nothing revolutionary or whatever, would be a change to the code of conduct, because you have the same thing, well, a similar thing in UCD, where one professor goes off and uses her platform to spread COVID conspiracy theories in the middle of a pandemic, which is like surely gotten people killed throughout the world, you know, COVID conspiracism. And in the end, she wasn't removed. You know, she hadn't broken any university rules. She left of her own accord. So I think universities in general, I guess, do need to look at, you know, what type of code of conduct do staff need to follow. But I think for myself, you know, what's a positive to come out of the protest? I think if we can get a Black Lives Matter group on its feet in DCU, you know, obviously as a response to Mark Humphreys, but to survive beyond that and to go beyond him, I think that would be something successful. Because even if DCU, if the administration digs in its heels, then you know, there'll be a group there. There'll be a group that will outlast this one instance, and then can go on and, you know, fight other battles as well. You know,
and it would be nice if that extended to other third level. Yeah. Institutions as well. And I think just the last thing for me, I think what you've said about the free speech and come debate me, sometimes come debate me is best answered with no, shut up, you dope. And yeah. I think sometimes it is best answered that way. Christine and Dara, thanks very much for having this conversation. Best of luck tomorrow with the protest. And we certainly do hope that something good grows from this.
I'm going to try and get up tomorrow, but if I'm not too old, they'll probably check me and say, no, sorry.
don't worry at all, because they're letting people from outside the college come.
Yeah,
so
we have some reps from UCD come in. There's other speakers around soon.
Tony's the guy with the skateboard going, hey.
I'll bring my new secondhand bike and show everybody how I'm really, really losing it. We hope to see. I do hope to see some of you tomorrow. But best of luck. And I do think it's really important that this is addressed and actually called out again. We need to do more. We need to be active allies ourselves. That we actually need to be. We just need to be more. I'm sick of this talk of integration. Let's talk inclusion, folks. Let's pass the mic. Let's get out of the way. Let's do better, and we can certainly do better than the drivel that was passed off as intellectual commentary, because if I could say one final thing, the writing itself is just awful. That's it in a nutshell. We'll be back later with Stephen Kinsella from UL, The Economist, this afternoon. So it just never stops. Talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.